Hey folks, welcome back to the Apple Podcast. Today we're discussing State versus Andring, a case decided in 1984. This Minnesota Supreme Court case tackled the boundaries of medical confidentiality, particularly in group therapy, within the context of child abuse investigations. Let's explore how this decision reshapes confidentiality standards in therapy. The case involves David Gerald Andring, who faced charges of second-degree criminal sexual conduct involving his 10-year-old stepdaughter and 11-year-old niece. Following a probable cause hearing, Mr. Andring voluntarily entered a crisis intervention program at a medical center, where he participated in group therapy sessions supervised by healthcare professionals. During therapy, Mr. Andring disclosed details of his sexual conduct. The state learned of these disclosures and sought access to his therapy records for use as evidence. The trial court ruled that statements made during one-on-one therapy were privileged, but allowed disclosure of statements made during a group therapy session, reasoning that the presence of other participants undermined the confidentiality. The Minnesota Supreme Court reviewed the trial court's ruling, raising the following question: should group therapy sessions be considered privileged under the state's physician-patient confidentiality laws when such sessions are an integral and necessary part of a patient's diagnosis and treatment? In a landmark decision, the Minnesota Supreme Court reversed the trial court's ruling, holding that communications in group therapy are protected by medical privilege. Justice Wall, writing for the majority, emphasized that the physician-patient privilege extends to group therapy sessions when such sessions are an integral part of a patient's diagnosis and treatment. Other group members are viewed not as third parties, but as essential participants in the therapeutic process. While recognizing the importance of child abuse reporting laws, the court narrowly interpreted the Minnesota Maltreatment of Minors Reporting Act to abrogate privilege only to the extent necessary for reporting abuse, allowing the disclosure of specific information such as the identity of the victim and the nature of the injuries while keeping broader therapeutic records protected. Additionally, the court underscored that the success of group therapy relies heavily on trust and confidentiality, warning that without these assurances, individuals might avoid seeking treatment or fully engaging in therapy, thereby undermining the therapeutic process. The decision affirmed the trial court's denial of access to one-on-one therapy records and extended the same protection to group therapy disclosures. It underscored the importance of preserving the therapeutic relationship even in the face of public safety concerns. In dissent, Justice Scott argued that the privilege should not apply in cases involving the sexual abuse of children. He asserted that the legislature's child abuse reporting laws reflected a societal interest in prioritizing the protection of children over the confidentiality of therapy sessions. This dissent highlighted the ongoing tension between safeguarding children and maintaining therapeutic trust. In summary, the ruling in State v. Andring established an important precedent for balancing the confidentiality of therapy with the legal duty to report child abuse. It reinforced the protected status of group therapy while acknowledging the limitations of privilege in cases of child maltreatment. Thank you for tuning into the Apple Podcast. We hope you found today's discussion insightful. Join us next time as we explore another landmark case at the intersection of law, psychiatry, and public safety. Until then, stay informed and stay engaged. See you next time.